Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man.
You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm trying something new today. I am live on Wisdom and also live on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to ask me a question, and I'm trying to figure out this technical stuff and the just the sound, so please extend grace. The call-in number to ask me a question live is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle Student, Teacher of the Universe. And what is Reality Spirituality? Who the hell is Rebecca Norton? How the hell is Happiness Specialist? The nerve of her. What I love to share on this show, this has been decades and decades and decades of practice, ongoing practice. I just especially am getting a lot of new followers lately, so just forgive me for just going back and giving you a little bit of background. When I was younger, how many of you out there have had birthdays? Birthdays, celebrating birthdays, you remember blowing out the candles on your birthday cake and making a wish. Well, when I was in my teens, early 20s, I always wished. Yeah, and I still blow out candles, that's right. I always wished for the same two things. I wanted to live to my potential. And I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know what that was going to look like. I had no clear picture, no clear goal. I just said, universe, I want to live to my potential. And the second thing I always wished for was I wanted to be happy. And I didn't know what this happiness, what I knew how happiness felt, but I didn't know how to go about achieving it. And if like all of us, I felt great when things were going good or something that happened that I approved of and I wanted to happen. But the life is up and down. And I lost the happiness, and I lost it when things weren't going my way. I'm going to say my ego's way. I'm going to use terms ego, mind, lower consciousness. It's all the same thing. The ego, the mind, the lower consciousness. And I'm telling you right now that ego was very powerful because it would always tell me the story, well, as soon as this happens, then I'll be happy. As soon as I accomplish this, then I'll be happy. But I'm here to tell you that's just not the truth. But before I get into today's topic, which was inspired by someone who asked me a question. They asked me a question on wisdom. And the question was, which is a great question, about achieving goals. And the question was, even after I achieve my goals, I don't feel happy. And we're going to get into that. I'm going to get into that and tell you the truth about this vibration of dissatisfaction, this energy of dissatisfaction versus the energy of feeling satisfied, regardless of accomplishing your goals. So, you know, this is my topic. I'm very passionate about it. Again, if you want to call in, I have a few people in the queue, and I'm going to get to you. The number to call in to ask me a question is area code 646-564-9619. I am not really into having long conversations. I am a what's the problem, what's the solution kind of girl. What's the challenge? What's the solution? And the solution meaning, what is the solution that is going to bring me the most, bring me peace? So when I talk about happiness, let me just say, give you my definition. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. The ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. So the happiness is a state of mind. It's a vibration. It's an energy. It becomes foundational. It becomes, and that vibration and that energy becomes your foundation. So you are rooted in peace. You are rooted in contentment. You are rooted in the vibration of satisfaction. So when I say happiness is a practice skill, it is. It's all about practicing. And what do you practice? What is there to practice? Practice? Happiness is a practice skill, and like any other skill, the more you commit to the practice, and it is daily. Shout out to Elaine G today. It is a daily practice, ongoing. When you make the commitment that is a priority, when your vibration, your energy of peace is a priority. So the question that you ask yourself, because I can't answer it for you, I mean, I think peace and happiness and that vibration of contentment is number one, but I've discovered that everybody isn't on the same page. And my practice is to accept that. Because part of the practice of being at peace is acceptance of others, and acceptance of others' journeys, and knowing and trusting that everyone has a journey, and everyone is going to discover what they need to discover when it's time for them to discover it. So the question, again, to ask yourself is to determine how much happiness you want to experience on the journey. One of my favorite quotes, I feel like I've been shot out of a cannon today. One of my favorite quotes by Abraham is, "You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey." You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. So the practice is about the journey, day in, day out, moment by moment. And the first part of the practice starts with gradually eliminating the behaviors that have been proven. Scratch that. Gradually eliminating the program behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your happiness. And some of those behaviors are program behaviors, having expectations, blaming someone or your circumstances for how you feel, comparing yourself to others, having a preference, the inability to change a perspective. One of the things that I can challenge you right now, one of the things that if whatever your experience, you're not liking, your ego isn't liking it, you don't feel happy about it, guess what? You can change it in an instant with a change of perspective. Practice, and how many of us, let me just speak for myself. I really don't want to speak for anyone else. Speak for myself. I know I wasn't taught to change your perspective. No, I was taught to just look at a problem, look at it one way, one perspective, and then suffer about it. Focus on it and suffer. But when you can change your perspective, and let me give you a quick example, is if you're driving on the freeway, and I've lived in California and Nevada now, and boy, these people love to drive fast. You know, some would say it's reckless driving, cutting other people off, driving over the speed limit. And what if somebody and you were driving and someone cut you off? And if you've listened to me, you've heard this example before. But this is one of my favorite examples. Someone cut you off on the freeway. You had to swerve to avoid an accident. Now, in that moment, you may be upset. You may be screaming out expletives. But what if you found out that that person was rushing to get to the hospital because they just got a phone call that their child is in intensive care? Accident. Instantly your perspective, instantly your energy would change. And so I challenge you, my dear audience, my dear listeners, to practice. If you feel stuck in any moment, find a way to just change your perspective. And that is a practice too. When I say happiness is a practice skill, it's like any other skill, from being a musician, being an athlete, a chef, a landscaper, a painter, a writer, a speaker. All of that takes practice. Everything that is worthwhile to you, it's a practice. Even when I learned how to drive a stick shift, I didn't learn how to drive a stick shift overnight. That took a lot of practice on a lot of hills. Shout out to Ralph Norrington. Hey, Dad. So when I say it's a practice skill, the good news is anyone can practice it. So what is the practice? We talked about eliminating the program behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your peace and your happiness. Another one is lack of acceptance of others, noticing what someone else is doing, having attachments, impatience. How about that one? Impatience. Wow. Yes. How about having patience with the process of your growth, the process of the unfolding, the process of the journey, the patience of the journey. You don't think that, I'm 66 right now, you don't think, hey, universe, why aren't I out there traveling all over the world? Well, whether that happens or whether it doesn't happen, it doesn't matter because what if that's not what the universe has planned for me? There's a big difference in what my ego, what my lower consciousness, what my mind wants to happen, and God's will. I learned that a long time ago. God's will. I let go of any wants and desires because I know who is the author of those wants and desires. And I desire and I want whatever the universe puts in front of me. Whatever the universe drops in my lap is my want, is my desire. But let me go on. The second part of the practice, when I talk about eliminating the program behaviors that subtract from happiness, first of all, acknowledging them, knowing learned behaviors. None of us popped out of the womb knowing how to worry. No, we were taught. And whatever you learned, the good news, you can unlearn. The second part of the practice is just cultivating the behaviors that have been established, that have been proven, that's going to add to happiness. And again, when I say happiness, it is a vibration. It's an energy. It is, and let me give you the example. It is, you're standing in a rowboat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Waves are crashing, tsunamis, wind, cold, boats rocking. But you are at peace. So the practice is being rooted in peace. Life is up and down. Life is a roller coaster, not only of events, not only of experiences, but of emotions. All emotions. The emotions are like the wind. The emotions, some days it's sunny, some days it's cloudy, some days it's cold, some days it's warm. The emotions are going to happen, but the practice is not to attach a story, not to attach a story to the emotion. Whew. Some of the practice that adds to the peace is never taking anything anyone says or does to you personally. Self-awareness, knowing self, accepting self and others. Trust that whatever is happening is happening for a reason beyond comprehension. Sometimes it's beyond comprehension. That's why the trust is so important. I don't get it. Let me just I don't get it when my mother died and gifted the family house to the handyman in 2018. I found out in 2018. I didn't think that was a great idea. I didn't get it. But months later, I did understand. Months later, the universe gave me, wow, Rebecca, you still had attachments. You still had expectations. You still blamed the mother, the handyman, the attorney. No, this is a setup. This is a beautiful divine plan, order, divine order, and everything is in divine order. But do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you trust that? Let me just share this other the one of the most powerful studies that I read, and I'll get to you in a minute. I have a few people in the queue. The number to call in to talk to me live is area code 646-564-9619 to ask a question. One of my favorite studies is it was done by a hospice nurse, Bronnie Ware. You can Google it. It's called the 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. I don't know about you, but that's pretty powerful, where people have weeks to live, months to live, days to live. And these 5 most common regrets kept coming up over and over and over again. And in no particular order, one of the regrets is, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. I wish I didn't work so hard. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. And I wish I would have let myself be happier. That's a powerful study. But one of the things that I had to also learn, and I'm going to get to today's topic, because the topic was inspired by a question that I just got yesterday. And the question was about achieving goals. And why, after I achieve a goal, the happiness doesn't last? Why, after I achieve a personal goal, it's maybe a minute, moments, maybe a day, 2 days, and I'm not happy? And that is the topic we're talking about today. I cannot wait to share with you, and I really love questions, because dissecting, one of the things I like to do is dissecting everything, getting down to the least common denominator. Whew. Ask yourself this question, or these questions, not this question, these questions. On a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? There was an interview, Will Smith, slap heard around the world. There was an interview, I got to get back in here. Hold on a second. Technical. One of these days I'm going to have a whole crew. Okay, good. Or not. How's that? One of these days I'll have a whole crew helping me, or I won't. Doesn't even matter. Thank you for whatever. When I say thank you, I'm grateful for every moment. It's not about one of these days, as soon as. That's the topic of today's show, and I can't believe what a perfect example. Anyway, on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness or peace in your life? And only you can answer that question. What's your definition of happiness? Achievement of goals? But let me get back to the Will Smith article. This was in November 2021, before the slap heard around the world. And he was talking, it was in GQ magazine, and he was talking about how he wanted to be one of the biggest movie stars in the world, accomplished, one of the and the most successful movie star, television shows. I mean, outside looking in, very successful. But you know what he said in that article? He said, "I wasn't happy." I know you've heard it more than once from people with a lot of with a lot of celebrity, power. I'm not happy. I have all of this. I'm not happy. There's another gentleman. He's a billionaire, Ted Leonsis, and he started the bucket list in 1993 when he survived a plane crash. And he had 101 things. He said, I survived this plane crash. My life is going to change. A bucket list. Well, he has 101 things on his bucket list. Not one thing adds to peace or happiness. And that is today's topic. As soon as I have a New York Times best-selling book, as soon as I have a television show, as soon as, that as soon as this is accomplished, then I will feel this way, or I will feel peace is a carrot that the ego, that the mind puts in front of all of us. I can speak for myself as soon as, and I'm here to tell you that that is a trap right there. The vibration of being satisfied and content and not wanting any more than this moment, than this present moment is providing me, not desiring any more than what this present moment is giving me, is the practice. I guarantee you, if you are dissatisfied in this moment, you are going to be dissatisfied in any future moments. The practice of satisfaction, the practice of being okay, the practice of being at peace with everything in the present moment. But the ego, the mind, the lower consciousness doesn't want any, is incapable of being satisfied. Incapable. The ego is incapable of feeling satisfied. Can't. Even if you can't. You know that. And that's why the achievement of goals. Listen, I was looking at a documentary with Michael Jordan, 6 championships. He's dissatisfied. He said, I could have had 7. That's what I'm talking about. And it's not about, not doing or not achieving. It's being content in the moment all the time. Contentment is a practice. The programming is, I'm not content. I want, need more. I get it. I really do get it. When I say being satisfied in the moment, feeling satisfied, vibrating satisfaction, that vibration of peace, that comes from the practice of looking in the mirror, because the good news is that you are so powerful that the practice of feeling content, satisfied, is totally in your hands. It has nothing to do with anyone else. It's nothing to do with anyone else's accomplishments. It has nothing to do with what anyone else says. It's you. You have that power, and I'm going to just cop to it. I'm not up here doing this by myself. No. The universe, whatever you want to call it, universe, God, source, spirit, Jesus. Oh, by the way, it's so funny. I'm getting a lot more followers, and a couple of people tweeted to me or messaged me and said, find Jesus. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'll feel better. You'll do better. That's what you need. Find Jesus Christ. I am Jesus. And so are you. One of the things that Jesus taught was greater works you will do. I have a conversation with God, with Jesus, with the universe all the time. That's my primary relationship. So, and one of the practices is to allow these people to say, to do, and thank you for the suggestion, find Jesus, accept Jesus as your Savior. Come on. And so let me just give you an example of that. One of the biggest lessons and practices that Jesus taught me was to, can you imagine walking, tormented, humiliated, stabbed, a crown of thorns, carrying your own cross? I mean, you can't get any more physically tortured than what he went through, and nailed to a cross and then saying, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. What a lesson. So all of us, it's all about the lessons. It's all about the practice. My question is, are you able to allow, let go of judgment of others and their journey and or their beliefs? Because I'll tell you, whatever you fight against is what you become. Whatever you cause you're fighting against is what you become. Anyway, let me get back to my questions. So what or who is subtracting from your peace today? The number to call in to ask me a question is area code, and I'm going to get to this caller right now. Give me 2 more minutes. Area code 646-564-9619. Again, to call and speak with me live, area code 646-564-9619. Are you as happy or at peace when you've experienced life's inevitable challenges? And they're going to happen. I had one two days ago. I find out, they're floaters. They're called floaters. I'm looking at on my left eye, I see spots. Really, universe? Now I got, that's from health issues, financial issues, relationships. Doesn't matter. Life happens. Spots. Okay, and next moment, I'm at peace with whatever the universe, whatever God puts in my lap. If I'm resisting what is, how does that feel? The resistance never feels like it's a flow. My question again, can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people offend you? Can other people disappoint you? Do you blame other people for how you're feeling or your circumstances for how you're feeling? When I talk about as soon as, the question was, after I achieve all my goals, I achieve the goals next. And the practice is the practice is eliminating all expectations. And that includes expectations of feelings. I expect to feel a certain way after I've accomplished this goal. I expect to feel a certain way. All expectations subtract from your peace, from your happiness. The practice is eliminating all expectations. Even doing this show, I don't expect anyone to hear it. I don't expect anybody to like it. I don't expect more than one person listening to it. That's another thing, the expectation of numbers. Oh, that's a big trap. As soon as I have millions of followers, as soon as I have millions of likes, that number thing, looking at wanting to feel a certain way because of numbers, that's an instant trap. Anything, wanting anything or expecting, here we go, expecting anything to make you feel a certain way that is external, that is outside of self, it's a setup. It's going to be a disappointment. You want to eliminate heartbreak and disappointment forever? I'll give you the answer. You want to eliminate disappointment and heartbreak forever for the rest of your life? I got the answers to the test. And I'm here to tell you is to eliminate all expectations. Eliminate all expectations. How many of you are in tune with your intuition, are in tune with that voice, that inner guidance, and not only in tune with it, but follow it, and I'm going to use this word, religiously. The GPS, the you can feel the connection, and you are inspired to action as opposed to non-inspired action. Non-inspired action feels differently. Now, I'm not going to tell you not to do non-inspired action, but you can feel the difference between the two. I can feel the difference between inspired action and action that, oh, really, universe, you want me to turn right instead of left? You want me to finish, you want me to write for 10 hours today? I can feel the difference. The inspired action feels easy. The other doesn't. It's up to you to make the choice. But and my what I found with me is I'm sitting up here, okay, universe, when are you going to inspire me? When are you going to inspire me? When's my inspiration coming? There you go, the practice of patience. The practice of patience. I don't know about you, but I was taught, hey, this shit should have happened yesterday. It's my time, the ego's time, the lower consciousness time, and then there's God's time. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you at peace? Do you have the patience? Do you practice patience to let all of this evolve when it's time? You know, when a baby is born, no teeth, can't even eat solid food. Hey, baby, can't walk, can't dress, can't even talk. Hey, baby, hurry up. Hurry up, let's go. Let's go, baby. Come on. Put your shoes on. Let's go. We have patience with the baby. We have patience with animals. We have patience with the puppies. How about having a little patience with the way life is unfolding? How about having a little patience with the person in the mirror? How about having a little patience, practicing patience with this life in general? The patience of being able to be is a practice. There was, and we all have our individual journeys. We all are. It is such a, you know, I say we are as different as our fingerprints, and it is such a gift to be unique, to be yourself, to be okay with being yourself. We all have different quirks and qualms and idiosyncrasies and beep, 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 and so what? And I'm okay with all of this now. You know, there was a time where I wouldn't even have said, I am Jesus. I feel very comfortable, because the practice is about the lessons. It's about the growth. Same thing, Jesus got angry. Jesus was impatient. Listen, he was in that Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't want to go through the next few hours. Hey, why do I have to go through this? Why? No, thank you. But eventually, after hours of struggle and resistance, all right, not my will, your will. I'm going to go to, there's a question here. Someone had their hand up. Let me just go to you really quickly. Hold on a second. And let me see if I can do this at the same time. Speaker. I don't know how the sound sounds. Let's see. Okay, area code 630. You've been waiting very patiently. Thank you. What's your first name and what is your question?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just had actually gone off, but that's okay. My name's Lisa, and I like a lot your talk today, and I agree with a lot of things. I guess I just find it hard to kind of get sometimes to that point where things aren't going the way you want, but you have to accept more God's will, and that things happen for a reason and everything works out, that kind of thing. Though I believe it, I find it sometimes hard to practice, and I wondered, like, I know one tip is like living in the present, just enjoying each day. But I wondered, you know, enjoying what you're doing, like in the present, mindfulness. But I wondered if you had like other specific suggestions to get your mind to more be like that, to do that, to create more happiness.
You know what, Lisa, when you started talking, my whole body was chilling up. And I get chills when I hear the truth or people speak the truth. They want to know the truth. And I really just appreciate you asking that, because don't think that's not a struggle for me too. And I do have some suggestions. And the other day when I talked about the the handyman getting the family home. Let me tell you something. That was in 2018, and the struggle and the fight is still alive in, what is it, August now. It's going to be August tomorrow. Excuse me, August 2022. It is an ongoing fight with this attorney. Can you imagine 18, 19, 20, 21, 22? 4 years. And, you know, there's ups and downs to that journey. And one of the things that really helps me is, let me just take a deep breath, because okay, number one, acceptance of the moment, acceptance of the struggle. Acceptance that, yes, I am in this moment and I am struggling with this present moment. That's number one, total acceptance. So not saying, oh, God, I'm not feeling painful right now. I wish it was different. No, it's acceptance of the struggle. Number two, the stories that the ego, mind, conscious, lower consciousness tells are all false. Are all there to and where's my water? Did I hold on a second, everyone? I've got to walk over here and get a bottle of water. Hold on. Reality, spirituality. Got to get the water. Beepity beep. Hold on. Don't you love live? I love live, and I never edit anything. I don't like editing. I like live. don't edit me. Hold on a second. I got to drink some water. Woo! Okay, here we go. Back to the number one, acceptance. Acceptance of the struggle. The number one of acceptance is number one. The other one is know that the struggle is not, you're not going to feel this way forever. Just like the weather changes, just like the seasons change, things change. Number three, the stories. Here we go, the stories. My ego, mind, lower consciousness has a story about everything. It is constant. It will never shut the blank up. And so what my practice is to separate myself from the story, meaning witness the story. Okay, so witness the story, just like you're watching a theater. You're sitting in the audience, but the stories, the ego, the bad news, you're witnessing it. as opposed to being identifying with it, and this is me. The ego doesn't want you to separate yourself from it. The ego wants you to believe that this is you, your story. The other thing is, and so that's the practice. The practice is the separation and witnessing yourself, witnessing the story that the ego loves to tell. There's always a story. It's constant. It never shuts up. Doesn't get a break. Doesn't have a vacation. Constant. So knowing that, the other thing, okay, this is a big one too. One of the practices to feel more peaceful is to let go of the seriousness, that vibration, that this shit is serious. This is important. This shift has to, that there's a vibration. So you grow and you can expand its consciousness without that seriousness attached to it. So lighten up and even laugh. You wouldn't believe it, all the browbeating my ego gives me. Oh, happiness specialist, how dare you? Ooh, the nerve. Okay, you got any other insults for me, ego? And not only is it not personal, the ego isn't personal either. Know that you are separate from those thoughts. You are separate from that voice. You are separate from that entity that only delivers bad news. How are you doing, Lisa? Am I help assisting at all?
Yeah, I'm listening to what you're saying.
Okay. Oh, thank you for your patience. And okay, so the stories, and then the other thing, because I'm not pretending I'm doing this by myself. What I don't do traditional meditation. I don't do any chanting. I don't have any secrets like that. I just go outside, palms up, and ask the universe, "Hey, universe, how can I soften the volume of those stories? How can I let go of being stuck in, because those stories, I say that they're like being in quicksand. They can pull you in, and it seems like there's no way out. But I'm here to tell you that eventually, with the practice of the trust, letting go, asking for assistance from the universe, eventually it does get easier, and the recovery gets quicker. So the practice is to rejoice quickly, recover quickly. So the last couple of days when I was sinking in the quicksand, what shifted for me was, okay, witnessing the stories, knowing the truth, just like what you said, Lisa, trusting, knowing that everything has a purpose, everything, including the coughing, has a purpose, and I'm always being served. Always being served. It's a fallback, close your eyes, blind trust practice. And then so you ask the universe, how do I practice trusting more? And that's my answer.
I guess like an example that I like to see then would be like this, like I guess changing my thinking about it. Like, I'm retired, and so, you know, like with this COVID, I didn't expect this to happen, and that it's continuing, and I wanted it to be different because I'm high risk. I cannot do things like travel and things like that. I can't. So, you know, it's kind of limited me in a lot of ways. I mean, I still can go places, and dependent upon if it's not a lot of people, you know, or indoors if you stay further apart. But not like a lot of things still, like eating indoors. And, you know, there's like a lot of things I still don't do. And I wear a mask when I go shopping and things like that. But I feel like it's kind of limited my life in a lot of ways. And it's hard for me to accept that this might go on for years. It's not going away COVID. You know, it's not like it's going to be endemic, but it's almost like I'm going to have to accept it more. And that's just an example. And I think the way I view it is to help myself with that is to accept it more and just keep on trying to do the things you can do. So, well, if you can't go and eat at the restaurant, maybe you can turn on a movie and enjoy it and find the things then that you can do and just keep on going after those things and accepting that that is God's will, you know, that whatever's going to happen with us, I don't know the outcome or the way the world is or how people are or, you know, disappointment and how those things might be going with the way the world's kind of crazy now and things like that. Like, it's more like accepting it and then, well, what are the things that I can do and what are the ways I can then be with people that are more like me that, you know, I can have fun with or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think that it's that change of the attitude because you can't change it. This could go on for years and probably will, the COVID. I can't change it.
You know what I love about your question and this discussion is that and everyone is so different. And so and I'm saying this as loving as possible. So what you're doing is you are basing your decisions based on fear. Now, let me just come back again, because I know we're all different and we all and I'm not really addressing this to you specifically. I'm 66 years old. As soon as I found out, let's see, it was 2020 and the lockdown started, I said, I'll be damned if they're going to keep me in the house. And I drove from one state to another. I went from I was in Oregon, and I drove to California. And this was right in the beginning because, my dear Lisa, I didn't fear getting COVID. And I know everybody's different. I understand it. I promise you I do. This is coming from all love. I promise you. But I knew in my heart, I knew, and I could have been wrong, but I knew that I was not going to die from COVID. I just knew that, and I know everyone's different. And my first thing was, doesn't everybody know that this isn't a death sentence? And there are certain people that, yes, are more susceptible. Yes, I get that. I promise you I do. But I knew that I wasn't going to. And I went to Boston last year. That was the first cross-country trip. And guess what, Lisa? I got COVID. I got COVID on the way back from being on the airplane. Did I wear no mask? No, they weren't wearing masks. I think, they were wearing masks at the time. It was October 2021. So, yeah, we did wear a mask on the plane. But I went to a football game. I went to the game between Tampa Bay and the New England Patriots. I'm a big football fan, and I was around thousands of people, open stadium, but I got COVID. And it was a kick-ass. I'm not vaccinated, and I got the monoclonal shots, and so after 5 days, I was recovered, of course, isolated, self-isolation. And then, believe it or not, 3 weeks ago when I traveled to Oregon, came back here to Nevada, I got COVID again. I didn't know that I didn't know you could get COVID more than once, but I got COVID again. Again, not vaccinated, got over that again. So each individual has to make that decision, and I have a sister who stopped going to church for 2 years because of the same reasons that you have stated, and just the caution and wanting to be
right,
safe.
But I go to a lot of things. I am going to things. It's not like I don't. It's like I have to choose the things that I feel are okay for me to go to and that are okay.
Yeah.
So, but I guess my question is, with my thinking, it doesn't matter what you think. You think about COVID. I mean, it does matter for you, but I have to have my own thing. And I'm not going to change my thinking based upon you know, what I think with science and my condition or whatever that, you know, keeps me
yes.
from, you know, like totally going in a big crowd or whatever it is. But I'm just saying, like, is that like a good example of my thinking? Like, if you're going to not looking at it, if it was COVID or it could be something else, but thinking positively about it, well, what are the things I can do, you know, to solve the situation, to make it more where I'm enjoying myself because it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, like the way, you know,
yeah.
like travel or even money-wise, you know, with travel now, with things getting expensive and, you know, with inflation and everything, I couldn't do it anyways, you know, like right now, I just can't. So,
yeah.
But it's okay. You can then have fun around your neighborhood. So I guess it's my thinking that more like, well, instead of trying to change it with the way it is, accept it and then think about positive things with it that you can do.
Yes, all of that. And so you already have the answer, and it sounds like you're moving in that direction. There, you know, the creativity, it sounds like you're using your creativity to do things that are going to make you feel or get out and socialize. Exactly. Yes. And
okay.
the other thing that I want to share is because there is a vibration about you about the seriousness. You know, when I talked about feeling serious, this is serious or this is important. There is a little tick of heavy vibration, and my prescription is.
Oh, yeah, to
laugh.
Be less serious, yeah.
Yes, and laugh more, my dear Lisa. Laugh.
Yeah.
Laugh more. Be on the verge of laughter. And that is a daily
right.
thing. You
yeah.
find whatever videos on YouTube.
Right.
Yeah, so it, really the laughter.
And also look at laughter and look at a situation, I think, if I can just interject, with like, okay, like something can happen like, well, after 10 years, I just had to have like my bathroom recooked and, you know, it's like you have to so you don't get mold and things. And so, of course, my mind goes like it's not like it's bad, but it's like it needs to be taken care of. Oh, my God, well, what if they don't do a good job and what if it comes back? And, yeah, it probably will. I mean, it lasts about 5 years. Being realistic, like knowing that instead of, like, you know, getting upset that it happened, well, it lasted for 10 years and you know, that's it for this bathroom. It's different than, like, how bathrooms were made, like, maybe 20 years ago with another bathroom I had. And just accepting it more and not, like, worrying about it and just taking care of it. Like, I got a professional. I listened to my gut instead of, like, a handyman to fix it because I thought that was what was important, someone that's done this for, like, you know, 10, 20 years and knows what they're doing. And so my tiles don't get ruined or something, you know. So, you know, but, like, just kind of, like, accepting it more, but I'll just go on and on thinking in my mind, oh my God, so, and what if it happened that it spread? And well, you can always find someone to take care of it, so you never get to that point. And I am taking care of it. I hired someone to come in and re-clock it. You know, it's not like it's like major and I didn't have like a wall destroyed or, you know, horrible, horrible mildew and I never let that build up, right? I'm taking care of it. So, but just upset that it happened after 10 years in this bathroom and, you know.
Yeah,
just,
it's
not as well made.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and you seem to do, to kind of lean on the say that on the doom and gloom side. A little, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
And so
you've got to stop it. You've got to stop it in your mind because it's ridiculous. It never happens that
yes.
way. I mean, yeah, what if you let something sit for 5 years? But, you know, it's not like I'm not that kind of person. I'm the opposite. So just kind of, I don't know, it's because maybe things went wrong and then I get scared it'll happen again, like something like serious or not that it usually doesn't. But I think you have to, like, change your mindset, right?
Who taught you? Where did you learn this doom and gloom?
Well, just because, like, situations that happened in life disappointed me so much in a lot of ways, certain situations, not everything. I've had a full life so far, you know what I mean? Good and bad, like you said, that's life. But I tend to, because I've had more experiences maybe that didn't turn out the way I want, I guess you could say.
Mm.
Yeah, but I got more of that attitude.
So let me ask you this question.
That expectations, expectations didn't turn out like you said, which is ridiculous. That's what makes people so unhappy, these expectations that it turned out.
Mm-hmm.
Certain situations it did instead of.
Yes, and see, you know the thing, when I'm listening to you, I listen to you, and I know the audience heard it. There was an energy shift with you. You even had a little chuckle. You even did a little chuckle. So it is a constant practice going away from the doom and gloom. And let me say this. Who would you be? See, this is another trick. Who would you be without the doom and gloom stories? See, part of the, not just you, but the fear and all these things, they become, the doom and gloom stories become part of us. So who would you be without any doom and gloom stories? And that may be a little scary.
Right. Yep. Because, you know, it's like, well, you know, you take care of it. So why did you worry so much? You know, like, I'll just worry about something continually. And then it never even happens. You know what I mean? So it's just.
Mm-hmm. I do know what you mean.
Like, it's not everything. So, but I'm just saying those kind of patterns that are negative, you have to be aware of, and then stop it and change it, I guess.
And, well, you are aware of it. And so the action is, the practice is, to do more of the opposite, which is to do more of laughing. I'm gonna prescribe you an hour in the morning, an hour in the afternoon, and an hour may be a long time, an hour in the evening of laughing or finding something to laugh at. It's really
minutes.
About shifting.
20 minutes. Hmm? 20 minutes. I don't think an hour I can do.
Oh.
20 minutes.
I love that. I love that. And either finding a comedian, but 20 minutes. And you know how helpful you've been, Lisa, to everybody listening to this? Do you know how helpful you've been?
Well, you have a good perspective, I think, you know. I really do. So a lot of people just
I wasn't born with everything around them.
You know, a lot of people just don't even, like, look at it. Like, they won't look at it to change their thinking, and they just keep on blaming other people or just stay the same, and they don't try. So it's really good that you have
it sounds like you're describing you. Oops. But see.
Well, no, I'm not like that. I think I do try, you know what I mean?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you, try more. I'm going to tell you, I mean, when I say try more, I'm going to say more laughter, more letting go, and then ask the universe, hey, universe, help me with this. Help me let go, because, again, the question is, who are you without the doom and gloom? Because sometimes that becomes so part of a person that it would be hard to let go of the doom and gloom.
Yeah. Well, I don't think. I was just giving an example. I don't, like, live my life like that every day, but I gave an example.
I love your examples, and I love that you shared. And I want to say just thank you so much, because it was just so valuable, your comments and your experience. It's valuable. It's even, you know, I tell people, I don't tell people, but I am maybe 10 seconds away from laughing in any moment. There was this one guy was staring at me. No, I was staring at him yesterday. I was in the parking lot. I don't know why I kept staring at him, but I was staring at him, and then he looked at me and says, "What are you giving me, the evil eye?" And I just bust out laughing, because first of all, I don't even know how to give an evil eye. Well, that's not true. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But the being so close to laughter and lightness and letting go of this is so important and so serious is also a practice. I really appreciate you, Lisa. I really do. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing with the audience. Whew, I cannot believe that an hour has gone by and the show is over. Did I even get, yes, so let me just go back to, because I'm gonna keep talking, because even the people on Wisdom, let's get back to the dissatisfaction as soon as. This energy, this wanting, the ego, the mind, the lower consciousness want more. I want more. This, as soon as as soon as this happens, then I'll feel good. As soon as the toilet, you know, I have a running toilet. The landlord's son came in yesterday because the toilet was kept running, and then supposedly spent 2 hours fixing it. And guess what? After he left, there's water leaking. There's water leaking in the toilet. It's leaking right now. And so what? Who cares? If I could care less about this attorney that I've been fighting with for over 4 years now. And let me be real revealing. I'd have lunch with him tomorrow. I don't have any angst or bad feelings or blame. I don't have any disgust or no. All these people, the people in your life, especially those ones that are challenges, especially the ones that challenge us, are playing their role perfectly. They're playing a perfect role. Now, trust me, this is 4 years later, and as soon as I found out, don't think I wasn't blaming and angry and, oh, burn in hell, motherfucker. Don't think I wasn't saying that. But after a while, after the practice, that's not bringing me any peace. So there's a point where what is going to bring peace? Letting go, and it wasn't even the attorney. The universe set me up. If I'm up here claiming to be an inner peace practitioner, then guess what? Where's the inner peace? Where is it? I could have lunch with him tomorrow. I could make him dinner. Invite him to the house. Because whatever happens with these people that are playing their perfect roles in our lives, are there for a purpose too. Are there to serve me too. This is one of my favorite stories. I'm gonna share this one. This happened to me. And I've shared it before if you've listened to me. This is one of my favorite stories in September. Yeah, it was September 2021, right before I went to Boston and got COVID. September 2021, there was a networking event attended by a lot of big muckety-muck millionaires, billionaires, the guy that started Priceline, guy that started Uggs. And this one guy, he's worth $50 million. His name was Walter O'Brien. You can Google him. Walter O'Brien, he was the inspiration for the CBS show Scorpio. Scorpio, I've never even saw it. 197 IQ. Now, the people that were speaking made themselves available to us little peons, and I don't know, I've never talked to anybody with 197 IQ. I was curious. $50 million, bulletproof Hummer. Yeah, I want to die. Hey, what's up? What's up, Mr. O'Brien? I tapped him on the shoulder. I asked him for a few minutes. He was nice enough to say yes. We went outside, and I said, hi, Mr. O'Brien. My name is Rebecca Norrington, and I'm a happiness specialist. And forgive me, people that have heard the story a million times, but this is one of my favorite stories. And I'm going to tell you, if you haven't heard this story from me, there's going to be a program response that you're going to have. When I hit you with what happened, the response is going to be a program. In other words, you're going to be programmed to respond, okay? And when I talk about program for unhappiness, that's what I mean. So I asked to speak with him, and I said, hi, Mr. O'Brien. My name is Rebecca Norrington. I'm a happiness specialist. And before I could finish, he said, I would never hire you in any of my companies because what you do is toxic. What you do is toxic. Now, there goes the program response, because when I tell people the story, they go, ah! Sometimes the eyes get big, the mouth drops open, the jaw drops open. Ah, what? Yeah, that's what he told me. And guess what I did? I couldn't stop laughing. True story. Happiness specialist, I'm toxic. I said, please tell me more. He said, because I wrote an article about it, he said, forgive me, everyone that's heard this story 5 million times. He said, I would never hire you in my company. You're toxic. He says, you've wasted 35 years of your life studying and pursuing happiness. You've contributed zero to this planet. Searching for happiness and inner peace is delusional. What I've accomplished can't be measured. Therefore, I've accomplished nothing. That's one of my favorites. He said, I was selfish. And if the people that I counsel don't employ at least 1,000 individuals, I'm wasting my time and their time, and I'm accomplished nothing. Now, before the evening was over, I got a selfie with this guy. A selfie, come on. Those were some of the best insults I've ever received. And why was I able to laugh? Well, I'm already always 10 seconds away from laughing, but that's a practice. And why was I able to laugh in his face? Is because the practice, what I practice, is words innately do not have any power. And I realize that the masses, I realize that all of us, the belief is, the story is, that words are powerful. Energy is powerful. Vibration is powerful. Your words, are you kidding me? No, your words have no power over anything that you say to me at all. You call me whatever you want, or my family. Your words are not powerful to me. It's never personal. I don't care what anyone says to you, what anyone calls you, what anyone does, especially you people out there with the, you know, the new thing is the narcissist. Oh, the narcissist and the not to poo-poo on it, but, it's the narcissist, it's the bullying, it's the, what else the other one? There's just so much, it's never personal. What he said to me wasn't personal. And whatever anyone says negative about you, or if you say something negative about someone else, know that you're describing yourself. Whether you want to hear that or not, being in somebody else's business, looking at someone else, making a judgment, a negative judgment about them, you're really describing yourself. Sorry. Oh, I hated learning that one. I hated it. It was a bitter pill to swallow. Judgment of others. Judgments of others. And don't think don't think that I got that 100%. But I definitely know all of my judgment of others comes from self-judgment, judgment of self. The other thing is talking about perspective. This young man could only see one, he only had one perspective. $50 million, 197 IQ, only one perspective. So that's that. He couldn't come up with another perspective if he tried. What does the man with the hump in his back want more than anything else? What does the man with the hump in his back want more than anything else? And it's not to get rid of his hump. He wants you to have a hump too. So these people that are angry or mean or whatever label you want to put on them, they just want you to feel like they do. I could throw that back at myself. If I ever find myself just feeling bad about or wanting someone to get theirs. Yeah, let's just use the attorney as an example. Well, he's going to get his. Well, guess what? No, if I wish that on him, I'm really wishing it on myself. This is not easy. It's not easy, this life. However, the practice is real. The practice is constant. And it depends on each individual. How much are you willing to commit or prioritize this practice this flow of peace, of ease, of contentment, vibration, this vibrating satisfaction. Let's get back to the as soon as. It's about the moment. It's about the present moment. And whatever you're vibrating, whatever your energy is in the present moment is going to come with you into all of your future moments too. So it's just about recognizing, being honest, put a spotlight on it. Oh, okay, I have a judgment about this one. I'm in someone else's business. I'm labeling someone else. I'm feeling slighted. Oh, that's the other word, racist. Oh, they're racist. Well, if you call anyone racist, guess what? Guess who's the racist? Sorry. I wouldn't have said that either before. But whatever you describe someone else, racists are people too. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. This life is about an experience without judgment of others. Now, I'm not pointing my finger at anyone else thinking that something is wrong with them. How arrogant of me. I used to. How arrogant to look at someone else and to come up with a story about what someone else is doing. I'm talking about myself. Yeah, very. Not anymore. Because none of that behavior, none of it adds to my peace. So if it's not adding to my energy, vibration, peace, contentment, guess what? I'm not engaging. I ask for help too. Whew. And with all of that, I am going to conclude. If anyone has a question, let me see if there's any questions here. Notifications, questions. Ask you a question. What is the question? Let's see. Somebody asked me a question. What's the question? Oh, there's a question. Let's see. How do I get into these questions? Oh, this is such a challenge. Let's see. Asked you a question. What is the question? One. I'm tapping on question, and it just takes me back to someone asked you a question. Well, where is it? Oh, answer. Oh, you know, the question, it just says hello. Okay, well, that's not a question. I love answering questions. Does anyone have a question? Again, you can call in 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. No questions. So if there's no questions, because one of the things I love is answering questions. And I'm not pretending to have all of the answers. I'm not pretending to have all the answers, but I will tell you this, that I know the difference, I can feel the difference between peace and resistance in every single moment. And if I can feel the difference, I know you can feel the difference. And so there is a choice when you get through and when you recognize and let go of all the programming and let go of all of the stories that aren't true. There is a choice. So how would you rather feel? How would you rather vibrate? Whew. All right, everyone. Well, Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And you can visit my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. You can find me on LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. YouTube channel, I'm getting ready to get a show put together. It's in progress. But I do have a couple of videos, old videos, that are on YouTube. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And I wrote a chapter in a book that was just released in March 2022. It's called The Book I Read. So it's a collaboration of about 30 people. And then until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. By accepting yourself in every moment, be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, happiness specialist Rebecca L. Norrington. And happiness is a practice skill, and I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you will find in your experience, and every moment reflects on what you practice. Have a conscious week.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby. Good night.